Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. "But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and upon our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'll help me to preach what I believe you've given me, and I ask also that you'll somehow take this feeble broadcast. And Lord, I know that I'm not a very good speaker. I know that. But still, I believe you've given me a message, and I'm asking you to take that message and touch the hearts of those listening. And Lord, it's my prayer that they would see Jesus Christ, that somehow the people listening would somehow understand more about the Word of God, fall more in love with the Savior, and determine to follow Him with all of their hearts. And Lord, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. The last broadcast, we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And really, that's the first part of this passage. But my main topic, the series of messages, is on prophecy and what the Bible says about prophecy. And also, we're trying to contrast that with false prophecies and false prophets. I believe that the Bible has a divine order. I believe that the Bible, from beginning to end, it shows us Jesus Christ and how He would act and how He would live and how He would think and how He would do. So there are three adjacent chapters in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, which introduces the spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, which talks about love and how we should, everything that we do should be in love. Then there's chapter 14, which we'll perhaps get into next week, that Paul gives more understanding of how the spiritual gifts are supposed to be used. And I understand that the spiritual gifts, they're controversial. I understand that I'm a Pentecostal, of course. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You may be a Methodist or a Baptist or who knows what, and your church may not teach that these are for today. Of course, I believe that they are for today. You may believe that they're not. That's fine. I'm not going to argue. But I would like to explore what the Lord has to say to us here. But the few verses I just read, and of course, it relates back to the first part of the chapter where Paul talks about the spiritual gifts. But if you'll think about it and read it closely, you'll understand that it's not about the gifts of the Spirit. It's not about speaking in tongues. But this passage is talking about God's care for the members of His church. You may be the deacon, or you may be the guy on the last row of the church that may come every other Sunday. You may be the strongest Christian. You may be the one that goes to missions trips. You may be the one that knows how to tarry and pray all night. Or you may be the one that's just barely hanging on and saying, Lord, I hope I can make it in. But if you're the weakest or the strongest or the richest or the poorest, or the one that knows all of the different doctrines of the Bible, or the one that's just barely trying to understand, God cares for each. And it says here, and again, this is quite in character with the teachings of Jesus Christ and the rest of the Bible, that God looks out for the little guy. God cares for the little guy. And those, he said that those parts that are the weakest or the most uncomely, then God says that we should give extra care. We should go out of our way to help those that need the help. And that's what the Spirit of God does. That's what Jesus, if you read the Gospels, you know that he didn't much care, or he didn't have a whole lot of time for the Pharisees that were puffed up and proud. But if there was a prostitute that had begun to feel sorry for her sins, he had all the time in the world for that woman. But verse 25, it says that there should be no schism or dissension, or in another place Paul talks about heresies, and if there's a division in the church, he says it's a heresy. That there be no schism in the church, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And I believe that that speaks volumes. And to be honest, I've heard a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit. I've heard a lot of teaching against the Holy Spirit. I've heard these few chapters preached a bunch of times, and really from both camps. But I believe that God has a message for us today. If you believe in speaking in tongues or you don't believe it, it doesn't matter. The Bible says that Jesus cares for you regardless. And that as a minister of the gospel, which I am, I should care regardless of how you feel about these passages. I should care about you. And that's, hopefully, that's what this broadcast will bring out. You should care about me if I'm a Pentecostal. I should care about you if you're a Baptist and don't believe the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're going to touch on the gifts of the Spirit later on, probably next week. But I'd like to read further on in this chapter. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, let's look at verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And it says in verse 29, are all apostles, and are all prophets, all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Does everyone have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I shall show unto you a more excellent way. And obviously he's leading up to chapter 13, the love chapter. But I want to look specifically at verse 28. It says that God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and then after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Now, just a little bit ago, just a few verses up, we talked about those that are strong and those that are weak, and that God cares for all. And that if we are strong, we should make it a point to help those that are weak. And then it says that God set or appointed and placed into office, as it were, some in the church. There were some apostles, prophets, teachers. Now, it doesn't mention evangelists here. It doesn't mention pastors here. Honestly, this verse 28 and 29, this is not an official or authoritative list of the offices that are in the church. I would like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And this is a familiar passage. Very familiar to anyone that studied the Word of God. There is an authoritative or official or perhaps complete list of the ministries that God put in the church. And remember, the word ministry, the word minister in the Greek, can also, or oftentimes also, is translated to be servant. So when a minister of God, supposedly, some prophet, somebody on television, he hooks his thumbs and says, "Look at me. Look at me. I'm in the front of the church. I've got the nicest suit on. I'm standing behind the pulpit. I'm important." Well, I'd like to tell you today that that's not the case. Because the one that needs more honor, the one that's uncomely, we're supposed to bestow more honor. The man in front of the church with the Bible in his hand should be a servant. He should be helping those that are not behind the pulpit. He should be helping the strong ones. He should be helping the weak ones. He's a servant to all. That's what my Bible says. And I'm going to get to this, the list here. I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. But first I'd like to talk about that word servant again. Jesus was a servant. I know that one day Jesus will come back and he will have, the Bible says, the rod of iron. In other words, he will be king. His word will be law. He will put down all unrighteousness. He will rule. But the first time he came, it wasn't to rule, it was to serve. The first time he came, he was born in a stable. You know this story. He did not promote himself as the best or the smartest. He didn't, he certainly is God come in the flesh. He said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." But he did not go around telling people about all his goodness. Now certainly he is good, but he spent his life caring for the poor. He spent his life teaching those that he thought he could lead to himself. He spent his time humble. He spent his time caring for those that were his flock. Now, let's go ahead and get into it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, a more complete list of the ministries in the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, I am an evangelist. But verse 12 here says that my job, if I'm on this radio station, or if I'm in some pulpit somewhere, or if I'm writing some article that posts on the web, or if I'm down in Haiti preaching the gospel, my job, verse 12 says, is to perfect the saints, to help them grow up in the stature and the nourishment of the Lord, to do the work of the ministry. And again, that word ministry is related to servant. So to do the work of the servants and to edify the body of Christ. To edify means to build up. So my job as a minister of the gospel is to help you. It's not to make me look good. I should not draw attention to myself. What did John the Baptist say? He said that I must decrease, but Christ must increase. If I get out of the way, perhaps, just maybe, you might see Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that if you look to me, and again, who am I? Nobody knows who I am. But there are some ministries, some pastors, some people on television, and some great ministries, you might say, that a lot of people know about, a lot of people look up to. And to some extent, that's good. I believe that we should have role models. I believe that we should have people that we can depend that they're going to bring a sound message. Paul said you can be like me, you can follow me as I follow Christ. So certainly that has its place. But again, we're talking, this whole series is about false prophecy and false ministries, false brethren. And of course, if you want to know what the false, let's say if you want to know what a counterfeit dollar bill or $100 bill is, they don't teach bankers, look, this is a counterfeit bill, study it, and when you see another one, you'll know what it is and you'll be able to spot it. No. They teach bankers, the bank tellers, whatever, again and again and again, the features of a genuine $100 bill. They'll hold it, they'll look at it, they'll spend a lot of time with the genuine article, and along comes a counterfeit $100 bill, and they know it instantly. They know it instantly, hey, there's something wrong with this bill. Well, that's the method that I believe God uses and I'm attempting to use. I would like to point out false prophecy. I would like to point out false gospel. I believe it's a great problem in the church. But to do that, I'm going to show you the truth. To do that, I'm going to show you what thus saith the Lord is. I'm going to show you from the Bible what genuine prophecy is, what genuine ministry is. I believe that there are prophets today, and we can know who those prophets are by comparing them to the Word of God. And what does the Bible say? If such and so is a pastor, or maybe he's a Sunday school teacher, or maybe he's an evangelist, does he show you Jesus Christ? Is he a servant? When you look at him, when you listen to him, are you drawn closer to Jesus Christ? And that's not some super fuzzy spiritual word, oh, I'm going to be drawn closer to Christ. We can know exactly what the Bible says, how Jesus lived, what he thought, what he did. Well, how do you know what Jesus thought? Well, you go into the book of Psalms and you read the Psalms of David. The Gospels tell the acts of Jesus, but the Psalms of David, they tell us what was in his heart. And you can read the 23rd Psalm, for instance. That's a song of the great shepherd. Now, I seem to remember the Bible saying that Jesus was the great shepherd. But he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The word shepherd, another way to translate it into English, is called pastor. So Jesus, the great shepherd, now we understand that a shepherd, that analogy, if you have a bunch of sheep, you have to have a shepherd that watches after them, cares after them, if they go astray, to take time out and to go make sure that they're all right, to care for them. You can put a bunch of cows in a pasture and throw them a bale of hay once in a while and they're going to be all right. But sheep you have to take a little bit better care of, which again, we just read about that. We should have care one for another. So if you want to know a true minister of the gospel, does he show you Jesus Christ? Do you get a sense that, hey, this man cares for me like Jesus cares for me? You know, Jesus said, and the apostles said that there would be false teachers, false prophets. They would come as wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, if a man is tending sheep, you can believe that he's going to have a wool coat. And, of course, wool comes from sheep. He gets the wool coat from the sheep. The Bible says that a laborer is worthy of his hire. But a wolf, he comes in wool too. But it's a sheepskin. And how do you get a sheepskin? By killing sheep. Well, I believe the Bible's clear that there's the right way to minister and then there's the false way. And I believe it's very easy to tell, if you want to be honest, very easy to tell if someone is a false prophet, a false teacher, a false minister, a false evangelist, or whatever. You can spot them right off, because they don't care for the sheep. Now, this order here in verse 11, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. I believe that there's an order. I believe that apostles come first. I believe that prophets come second, evangelists come third, and pastors and teachers come fourth. Now, you might say, wait a minute, fourth, I count five. Well, to be honest, in the Greek, there's really four. apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. I count four in the Greek. I count four really in English. And if I can digress a little bit, if you read in the book of Exodus and some of the other books of the Old Testament, it talks about the pieces of furniture that are in the temple. And one of those pieces of furniture was the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm sure that you've heard teaching on that, and there was a movie about that, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and, you know, Hollywood, whatever, but it did talk about the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, there were four rings on the four corners, and they would take two staves and push them through, and four priests would take the staves, put them on their shoulders, and when the Ark was carried in the battle or carried from place to place, four priests shouldered that ark and carried it everywhere that it went. The Church of the Living God needs to be carried. The Church of the Living God needs to be cared for, we said. And God set some in the church, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and those that stay with the sheep day in and day out, week in and week out, the pastors and their Sunday school teachers or their deacons or whatever. In other words, the pastor teacher is the local ministry. An evangelist, he travels. An apostle, he may go into some foreign land. And a prophet, God sends them where he wants to send them. So a lot of times you'll hear on the radio or television, they'll talk about the fivefold ministry, and they refer to this passage. Honestly, it's fourfold. But if you want to believe five, that's fine. I'm not going to argue. But like I said, I believe that this list is in order. Apostles, and then prophets, and then evangelists, and then the pastors. But I do seem to remember, Paul was talking in another book, and he said that I kind of figure that God has reserved the apostles to be last, and to be the offscouring. Yes, I believe that apostle is first in the list, but the list is turned around the other way, because the ministers of God are supposed to be servants. I remember that Jesus said, if you want to be great, you have to be a servant. If you want to be chief, you need to be that servant's slave. Yes, the apostles are first servants, and also first to suffer. You can read about Paul's life. He went through a lot of suffering. He was stoned and beaten and shipwrecked, and we can read the story of the things that happened to him. I believe that the apostle, and we can read about the apostles, we know that the things that they did some of the hardest jobs. They went in, when Paul went to Mars Hill and preached, he didn't get a very good reception. Yes, they are chief, but they're the biggest servants, and they're the ones that suffer the most. So if you want to be a prophet, that's just a little bit further down on this list from apostle. If you want to be a prophet, well, it's not a glorious life. You're not going to make a lot of money being a prophet, maybe as a false prophet. But if you're a prophet from God, you'll take the brunt. You'll take the attacks. You'll take a lot of scorn. You'll take a lot of ridicule. And you'll end up being a servant to the Church of God. God has a divine order, and if God's called you to be a prophet, or that you claim that you're one, well, you're basically on the bottom of the stack. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.